very good afternoon to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now we are at the 1:30 to 3 o'clock program. We will continue with our sharing. Sui, you want to read? Okay, yeah. So we are at page 86.
Page 86, point number 3. Just relax, aware, and silence your mind to develop the heedfulness. Then you will progress along the path of Dhamma naturally, following Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. All conditioned things are impermanent, non-self and empty, anatta. Therefore, strive on with heedfulness, abhamadena sampadeta, as advised by the Buddha, and do not be heedless. Without sati or mindfulness, you cannot be heedful, for sati is life. Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 23, there was no notes. Part 3, Meditation, there were no notes as well.
Okay.
Page 87, 24th Heart Sutra class, Part 1, 1.1. The true purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to liberate the mind, so that one is no longer deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind, causing one to grasp and cling onto it as the I and the me and the mind, to condition one's suffering. Understanding this true intent and purpose of meditation is very important, because meditation is not only about developing the calm and tranquil mind alone. Wisdom is more important. One only needs to understand why one's mind is not peaceful, the main reason being the five hindrances of mind. And they are there because the opposite five spiritual faculties needed to overcome them are lacking. When the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrances will cease to be. Then when there are no more mental hindrances or craving, the mind will be naturally peaceful and calm, because it can accept the reality of the moment via wisdom. Wisdom allows one to see things as they are, via the unwavering mind in upekkha or equanimity, mind that does not stir anymore. Mind is free, liberated, and no longer deluded. Meditation via focusing, looking, and noting are mostly thought-based, whereas the one via the silent mind in sati or awareness before the knowing without thought to awaken to phenomena is mindfulness or sati-based. Only true wisdom is the mind free. This wisdom cannot be learnt, but only through awakening via the direct seeing with the true mind without thought. Attachment to Dhamma is knowledge, as knowledge can also be a form of delusion. Wisdom is an understanding and not knowledge. There is nothing to know because all knowing is via the thought as knowledge, whereas wisdom is an awakening, a realization which is beyond thought, and it is not rigid.
Very good. Continue.
Part 2, 2.1. So too are feelings, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. This section covers the more subtle formless Dhamma acting at the mind level. Definition 2.2, definition. True understanding.
The spelling should be T-R-U-E.
T-R-U-E, true understanding. Page 63, imply wisdom. Defeat them, imply no longer deluded by them. Feelings of happiness, imply pleasant feeling. Feelings of suffering, imply unpleasant feeling. Page 88. Feelings which are characterized by neither suffering nor happiness imply neutral feeling or indifference. In the pure and deep ultimate silence, all creations are transcended. A sudden awakening to the original perfect fusion of self and dharmas. Explanation. When the mind realizes itself, all the above can happen.
Yes.
Part 3.1. Question 1. When I listen from my heart during Dharma sharing, I feel very peaceful and happy. There is clarity, but this state does not last. Why is it that I feel this way? Brother Teo answered, this could be due to your past cultivation that enables you to have this ability to listen from your heart, and it looks like conditions are now ready for you to connect back to your past cultivation. You will progress very fast from now onwards, because when you know how to listen from your heart, with your full awareness there, then the brain which is up in your forehead will not condition you to think, comment, judge, and react so strongly as before, when your attention is most of the time at your forehead while listening. Since thoughts are response to memories, so by listening from the heart, there will be very much less thoughts, but initially, it will be like the listening is in bits and pieces and not really connected to the memories. But don't worry, because it is normal, and you should continue to listen from your heart until it becomes normal or natural for you to do that. Actually, that is the correct way to listen. Listening with your full attention or consciousness or awareness without the interference of thoughts. It is a sign of good progress. Also understanding that, like all phenomena, it is impermanent. So do not expect this same experience to be repeated all the time. This is especially so during your daily life, when you are not in a conducive place to listen to the true Dharma. Then your habitual tendencies of listening from your forehead or brain will start to happen again. Sometimes the hindrances of mind can still come in to disturb your mind states. So do not react or stir your mind via delusion. Just let things be and let it settle back to its original, natural or original state of stillness and inner peace. Then you will always be happy and at peace. Have the wisdom to see things as they are and understand all these clearly. Then one day you will come to understand that as long as the true mind within does not stir and create thoughts via one's own delusion to think or react, then the mind will always be peaceful. The wanting to react or to be calm and peaceful via the thought is a delusion. The wanting will create the stirring of the mind. Because this mind via the thought will try to control and suppress its negative emotions or lack of peace, thinking that it is bad via not understanding that the controller is the control. When the mind is in sati, there is no thought. Thought ceases. So just relax and silence the mind to be with the moment in silent inner awareness. And do not try to do anything, because the doing is by the thought that will cause the stirring of the mind again. So the thought which is in the control, which is the controller. Yeah, thank you. Tries to control thought, thus explaining why J. Krishnamurti said, the controller is the control. When one understands that the natural state of mind before the stirring is stillness without thought, then meditation becomes very simple, just like the case of swimming. Take for example swimming. If we understand that the natural state of your body is already buoyant because it is lighter than water, then why do we need to learn how to float? Just let go and don't do anything and trust that your natural state of your body is buoyant. Then your body will just float via not doing anything. But instead, most people struggle in the water trying to keep afloat and in the process sink and drink water because of their fear and lack of understanding or delusion. So similarly in meditation, if we understand that the natural state of mind is already the meditative state of silent inner awareness without thought, then we just let things be and don't do anything, and the mind will settle down to its natural state of peace, tranquility, and stillness on its own, just like the swimming analogy.
Okay, I will explain this. How many of you don't know how to swim? Everybody, you don't know how to swim. You don't know how to float also. Can you? You cannot float also. Oh, next time I teach you, very easy. Next time you go into the swimming pool, you don't go to the deep end. You go to the about 3 feet, 4 feet on, so that you won't drown. Yeah. Then, close your eye, don't do anything, let your body go down. It will go down into the water first. Yeah. Then, depend on how heavy you are. You may hit the bottom of the pool. But you go to deeper one, you won't hit the bottom of the pool. The body will go down first. Because the buoyancy takes time to develop. Do you understand Archimedes' principle? You are not a science student. Oh. You know what is Eureka or not? Huh? You don't know what? Archimedes, when he was taking his bath in the long bath, all of a sudden he realized the flotation and buoyancy. You know? He was so excited, he shouted, Eureka! He came out of the long bath without clothes. You found it? I found it. You know what he discovered? He discovered, you see, let's say this is your swimming pool. Then this is the water surface. Okay? If you use your float, let's say it's a basketball. Do you know when you want to press the basketball down, there is a force that want to float up. That is called the upthrust. So the force that want to float up is the upthrust. And do you know what is this force or not? So this F is upthrust. So this one is, this is the downthrust. You try to push it down. So what happened is, that force, according to Archimedes' principle, or you go and do physics experiment, you can confirm it. That upthrust force is equal to the mass of water displaced by the float. So now you understand. So let's say the ball is so big, that space of the ball is the water it displaces, and that weight of that ball of the water that it displays is the upthrust. So your body got your shape in there. When you go down into the pool, the upthrust is equal to the whole body, equivalent water, you go and weigh it, that is the upthrust. But because your body is lighter than water, do you know why? You got lung, you got air. Fats also float. Yeah, lighter. So what happens is, let's say you allow your body to go down. I got no place to draw. Let's say this is Polian. The two hand and the two leg. You let it go down. Then what happens is, this upthrust, I put it right now. Because it's lighter than water, the upthrust will push you up. Initially, you don't believe. Because the moment you sink down, the upthrust hasn't built up. You keep on sinking. So you can do it to test yourself. So what happens is, after you go down until the up thrust build up to full limit, then it's stronger than your weight of your body. Then it push it up. Then this body starts to float, push it up. Then you don't do anything like meditation. Just confidently understand that you are lighter than water. Your body can float. It's in buoyancy. Then this body will float up. Then you try to keep your face upward so that that very little part float, then the up thrust is equivalent to your weight. That's how you float. So this is buoyancy. Buoyancy. Correct, right? How to spell? B-O-Y. B-O-Y-A-N C-E So you will float. You go back, go to the swimming pool, give it a try. When it float, you will be confident. Oh, really? Relative say one true. Then you no need to learn how to swim already. You already float already. Then you want to swim means what? You move your hand and leg lah. Wait. Use the mic. Nothing to do with your muscle.
If my muscle all tense up, will I still float?
You will still float. Even your muscle not working also float. Because it's the mass of water display. And the mass of water display is heavier, is stronger than your weight. So it will move up. The moment you feel the up thrust pushing you up, you're very confident already. You suddenly become very confident. That's how I learned how to swim. Because after I study physics, Form 4, Form 5, last time I like you, I swim in the Kedah River one. My head always above the water one. I very scared my head go down one. So I use a lot of my leg and hand to struggle to be afloat one. They say kia chuya. Stand on water. So I have to move my leg and I have to every time move my hand like make the buoyancy. I push the water down like create thrust. Then I use my leg to make me float. But that one very tired. You can float for how long? Half an hour, you're half dead already. So what happened is the village freestyle cannot work. Then after I understand physics, I go to the swimming pool, I went down. First time I went down, I still not confident. Because the body keep on sinking down. Then when I felt the buoyancy, confident. Then the moment it float up, I realized swimming is very easy. I just move my hand and leg, I swim already. Then I saw them do breaststroke. I also want to learn. But because I already experienced, I go down, I will float. So I let the body go down, I float. Then I move my hand like they do, not butterfly, breaststroke. You push your hand in front, sweep the water to the back, then you float. Then you go down again, like a frog, frog style. Then you push, then can butterfly also. Then can swim backward also. Kun chui, we all Hokkien, kun chui, sleep on water. People is backstroke. We all terminology very good. Sleep on water. Kun chui. Then you can move your hand. Pa. So this is how I learn. Well, when I understand, then I have the confidence and I can swim. So meditation is the same. When you know your original state of mind is the meditative mind, then why you want to learn how to swim or float? You already can float, you don't know. Through delusion, you fear. When you fear, what you do? Every time you go on water, you struggle to float. You know how difficult not to struggle to float. So meditation is the same. You struggle to be peaceful. You understand not? You struggle to be calm. You struggle to be mindful. What are you doing? Don't do anything. Like you're swimming, the body will float. Don't do anything, the true mind will surface. So easy. True or not? Then why you go and struggle in meditation? Just don't do anything, relax, aware. Then the true mind surface. It's like the body float. That is how you should meditate. Then when you understand this, the way you meditate is so much easier than other people who don't understand. That is what I'm trying to explain to you people. Now you understand. Why go and note? Why go and focus, concentrate, do all those things? Because you doubt. And you got craving. Craving to do what? I want to be calm. I want to be peaceful. I want to be mindful. Who is the flaw? The thought. And when the thought is active, you struggle to be peaceful. You struggle to be calm. That's why you do a lot of funny things in your meditation. Then sometimes they got no choice. They force themselves to sit very long until the mind is in concentration or absorption or you focus. Then only you become calm. That is all not the correct way to do. That is all thought-based meditation. The true one is, don't do anything, relax. Then that true mind arises. Then you become calm, peaceful, tranquil, and still. That is the true meditative mind. Not the other one that is a conditioned state in concentration. Clear, now very clear. So when you understand, meditation becomes very easy. So Polian, go and try, Then report after retreat. Whether you really float or not. Maybe your body heavier than water, I don't know. If your body heavier than water, you won't float. Because the law of physics say the up thrust is... Oh, you pay money, go and learn, still cannot swim. You pay me the money. I already given you the secret. I don't need to go there. You will know how to swim. So these are free lessons. But you don't go and wear that tight or swimming trunk like heavy one. You wear the one, very light one, three-piece one. If you wear that heavy clothing, soaked in water, very heavy, maybe you cannot float. But you wear the thin one. That one is a joke. That one is not serious. Whatever you wear, you will still float. Because I remember when we swim in the river, Kampong style, we got money to buy swimming suit last time. Swimming, they call swimming short. We got money. Don't have money that time. So you know what we do? We are from Alor style. We got this Kedah club, where the club member they can go in. So we follow some of the teacher go in. Then you want to swim. Then the pool say, no swimming trunk cannot swim. So how? Wear the underwear. When they ask at the time, I thought this is swimming trunk. That was a joke, really. But it's quite interesting, quite fun. Then later on, the person in charge, he's very, I think, very understanding. He told us, I know your student don't have money to buy swimming trunk. Don't worry. You go and bring your school, the undersized short pant. You come and swim. We let you swim. So I go and look for the short pant. 2 years ago, I wear one. I go. So it's like a tight fit. Then go to the swimming pool. That's how you learn. With understanding, you will know how to swim. With understanding, you will know how to meditate. You remember what I always tell you or not? You must meditate with... better write it down. Otherwise, you always forget. Most important, must meditate with understanding. Otherwise, you don't know what you are doing. When you understand, you do, you progress very fast. When you don't understand, you do, you get stuck. So this is what the Buddha meant. First stage of Dhamma is Pariyatti. Learn the teaching. Understand the teaching. That is very important. After you understand, only start. Don't be too eager to start and meditate. Before you know what is meditation, before you know the essential Dhamma and the teaching, you quickly want to go retreat. You quickly want to meditate. Then what you do? You become gullible. You go and ask, hey, teach me how to meditate. Then he says, sit down. I give you this method, this technique. You know this, know that, you breathe, you like that. This is delusion. But when you understand already, you meditate, it's very easy, like swimming. When you read and yet you cannot understand, then you consult somebody who understands. Then he will teach you. It's very easy. You know how my two children learn swimming or not? My daughter is here. We also send him to this, I joined one government service, I think it's a club. Then there is this swimming class, where there is a qualified swimmer who train all the children on, I remember. Very cheap, 1 month, 15 ringgit only. So I sent my two children there. The way I saw him teach them how to swim, at first I panic. You know what they do? They throw the kid in. Before they know how to swim, they just throw him. Then they all, as a kid, they saw every kid jump down. Also, nothing happened. So they also jump down. And they know how to swim after that. See? That's how they train. Because otherwise you got fear. Then they give you confidence. Everybody can. Then everyone also going. Then they enjoy. They have the fun. So meditation is the same. Some of you must show the way. Understand? See? Walk. Be mindful. Then when you do it, the rest, confident. You remember last time I sent out the video? The duckling and the mother duck? Climb up the step. At first, the mother duck go, choop, went up. Then all the duckling want to follow the mother duck. But everybody struggle, try, all cannot go up. Then the video very good. Then suddenly one duckling managed to go up. Wow, the rest got confident. They are more diligent already. Then after trying for a while, two or three go up. Wow, lucky confident. The rest all very fast. Then all go up, then left with two or three. Oh, there are two or three struggle. But the mother duck up there, didn't even look back until finally all went up. Then I told them, I said, oh, Kayamita finally, like the duckling, go across the other shore. Can, not difficult. Other people can, why can't you? You are better than them. You can be born during sasana as a human being, and get to encounter the true Dhamma. You think you got no parami. You don't underestimate your nature, your past. You will never know until you connect. So this one, always remember, when you understand, like swimming, because your body is buoyancy, then your mind is the same. The true mind is already the meditative state. Silence, stillness, tranquility, without thought. Then why do you struggle to meditate? Because you deludedly think that the mundane mind, the thinking mind is you. That's why you use that to struggle and fight and try so hard. Like Krishnamurti say, controller is the control. Thought is controlling thought. Understand? The thought, which is the perceiver, the thought which you think is the thinker is trying to control the anger which is also the same thought. The anger is created by thought, understand? Through wrong view, delusion you stir. Then you say, I must not have anger. Then you want to suppress the thought, control the thought, or do away with the thought. But you don't understand. You develop that type of knowledge wrongly, then you use that knowledge, say, I must abandon this thought. But you don't understand the Buddha's meaning of abandon. Abandon means completely gone, no. You didn't abandon. You try not to get angry, you understand, no? That's why you are suppressing the anger. You are not abandoning the anger or the fear. The word abandon is very clearly, you know, after you abandon, it's gone, no. But you go and suppress it, control it. You say, yan, don't want to get angry. The anger is still there. Huh? Like yesterday, I was at Keat Hoon. Inside still bosong. Huh? Your boss cannot get the leave. Although you talk nicely to her, but inside still bosong. Means not rooted out yet. Not truly abandoned. If you have rooted it out, it won't be there. You will know how to attend to it. Condition like that, things will be like that. If you have kindness, goodness, good condition, every time you want to go retreat or spiritual trip, no problem. Like when I was working, so busy, it's a madhouse. And yet I get to go. My leave was never a problem. So everything is like meant to be very smooth sailing. I never have an issue on taking leave. I never have problem when working and all those things. Never. So this is what trust your karma, trust your nature. Trust your wholesomeness, your goodness, your virtue. This will protect you, nothing else. Okay? Now we continue. Okay, see. We are page 89. Yeah?
Second paragraph. Once you realize that you can float without doing anything or holding on to any float, then swimming becomes very simple and easy because you just move to swim without having to worry about learning how to float anymore. The float is just like your object of meditation, which is just a skillful means to help you to train your mind to be heedful, or in the case of the float, to assist you to float. So now you start to see and understand that as long as you are dependent on the float to swim, then you will never understand what the real swimming is without the float. So in a similar way, as long as you are still holding on to an object of meditation or a mantra or noting something, then you will not understand what the actual meditative mind is. So now you understand why finally one still needs to drop the use of any meditation object or skillful means used to train the mind. Just like swimming, why must you learn how to float when your natural state of your body is already buoyant, which is in fact, which you can't understand.
No, which is a fact.
Which is a fact. Which you can't understand initially due to your delusion. Thanks. Understanding that your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, which is without thought, in perfect pure awareness and stillness, then meditation becomes very simple and very straightforward. You will know how to meditate without delusion anymore. To me, after several years of serious meditative investigation, I have come to realize one very important truth or understanding with regards to meditation. That is, we need to understand what meditation is, instead of clinging to meditation techniques, methods, and teachers, because a technique or method, which is a series of instructions to do certain things, never defines the meditation. Maybe it can act as an initial aid, like a float, to assist you initially to learn how to swim and float. But to really know how to swim, you must let go of the float and believe that your body can float and reach a natural state of balance or buoyancy if you don't try to do anything. That is, let go completely and you will float. Then swimming becomes very natural and easy. Our mind is more or less the same. That is, its natural state is already the meditative state in stillness. Just stay silent mentally and don't do anything. Don't even try to use the mind, which is the thought, to meditate, to disrupt the natural state, because the thinking mind, which is egoic and thought-based, cannot meditate to realize the Dhamma or truth, which is akaliko, timeless and beyond thought. Because of ignorance, not knowing what truth is, The thinking mind is conditioned via its own wrong view and habitual tendencies to constantly arise the mental activities or heedless thinking, sankhara, leading to the arising of the respective mental consciousness, vijnanam, that supports the arising of the five mental aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa. Hence, triggering off the whole chain of dependent origination, leading to dukkha, finally. When you understand what meditation is, then you will naturally know how to meditate at any place, any time, and under any circumstances, and you will not be constrained or deluded by your attachment to methods, techniques, and teachers. Basing on the analogy of the handful of leaves by the Buddha, it is pretty obvious that the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. Because according to the Buddha, there is this fourth noble truth that states clearly that the path leading to the cessation of dukkha or realization of nibbana is the Noble Eightfold Path. So just silence your mind and be heedful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path via the seven stages of purification and the three turnings or the four noble truths as taught by the Buddha. Hope the above explanation will clear all your doubts and enable you to meditate correctly with the right understanding.
Continue.
3.2, question 2. Brother Teo, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart area. But why no monks or texts ever advise us to focus on the heart area?
See, at that time I remember some of the yogi told me, I think I also went to certain retreat. Then the yogi also asked, can we develop the meditative understanding by going to the heart? He could not scold it, no. He was scolded. I don't know why. They all, they like taboo, you know, to go to the heart. Then I remember there was one time I was doing the meditation. That time, first time, I don't know. And there was a lot of people, I think. It was a 3-day, 2-night, type of 8 precept short retreat. So I was very new that time, early 80. So I went in, I sit down. I don't have hand mudra. You know what I did? I naturally fold my palm anjali like that, and meditate. That guy came and hit my hand. Cannot meditate like that. Pow! Then I look at him. I say, why? He said, put the hand like that. I say, who say? He said, you want to meditate here? All like that. Wow. How are this type of meditation? Because I felt I can develop the calmness, the relaxation when my palm is folded because I have the faith. And I like to fold my palm since young. He cannot understand. He tell me, here you cannot. So, no choice. Cannot. What to do? Look at how people fold the palm. I also try to put it down there. So, then I find it not natural. Then after that, I don't want to put the palm like that. I just, like a normal one, I just put on top and sit down. Yeah. Luckily, after that, he never come and disturb me anymore. Then, later on, I saw somebody put on the lap. Then I wanted to ask him, how come he put on the lap, you never go and tell him? luckily, I didn't go and tell him. So, some people who don't understand, they come up with all these funny things. So when you go for meditation without understanding, you end up like that. And that time, I really don't know. And I kena this for nothing. Then later on, when I started to understand, then I realized what the Buddhist community is actually doing. That's why after that, even after 1989, I didn't even have a second thought of trying to come out and share. I said, forget about it. Cannot. But the thing I understand and the thing people outside do is completely 100% opposite. Like the Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, after he, underneath the Bodhi tree, became enlightened. After the 7 weeks of 49 days of reflection, And he wanted to reflect that maybe he should teach. Then he realized his teaching is so difficult for living being to understand. So he decided not to teach. But luckily the Brahma, Sahampati, can read his mind. Came down and pay respect and appeal to him. And told him, Lord, there are people with little dust in their eye who can understand you. Then only Sakyamuni start to reflect. Then he said, yeah, there are two teacher. Then when he used his special ability to check, the two teachers just died. Then the next one he has to fall to is the five ascetics that follow him. That's why he walked over to meet out with them and started the teaching, the turning of the Dhamma wheel, Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta. That's how it all started. Even the Buddha at that time, he was having the same thought. It's not easy, this thing. That's why he also reluctant to teach. So, because of that, it is not easy to really find a good teacher or right teacher who can really understand the teaching, meditation, and guide you and teach you. So you should rejoice, count your good blessing, understand, and thank your good karma. Sadhu, sadhu. Otherwise, if you have past karmic obstruction, you won't come to this type of meditation. You will be somewhere doing something else. Read on, yes.
Brother Teo replied, don't worry about what others say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Do not quote me saying anything because you may not understand what I mean. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over methods and techniques again. Just say, Brother Teo only share his Dhamma understanding with us. So no right, no wrong. And we as Dhamma friends or Kalyanamitas, just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just his sincere way of sharing the Dhamma. And as Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel and help each other to progress along the path of Dhamma without resorting to any inappropriate negativity of action, speech and thought. I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness. This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness or sati without thought, after they have stabilized their daily mindfulness or anapanasati, and also for those who have trained their mind until their mindfulness is so stable and fine, so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything. This is the state where a lot of meditators get trapped and stagnate because they don't understand what is happening. Some master or teacher will ask them to do the sitting and touching, etc. But if they understand what is happening, then they should stop doing those things, just like what I have explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a state where their bodily vibrations have become so much finer and subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on its own, without the need of any dwelling or object of meditation, that is mind in sati, without any anchor. To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their nature within, so that their sati can become more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they will be able to be mindful of even the very subtle breathing or fine vibrations within their heart area. And every moment of mind within their kaya, via this awareness or sati is like greatly magnified and is slow motion, but with a lot of clarity within. All of the movements are like broken down into a lot of very fine movements in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful most of the time. in and out of meditation. Even in their daily life, their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experiences, every hearing, seeing and thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity, and everything is like a flow. That is, the mind and phenomenon come together as one, in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed when one is able to detect the gateway to their nature within, and this is usually cultivated only by those going the Bodhisattva way, leading to Buddhahood. For more details, please listen to the recorded talk.
Okay, good. Next chapter. So everything is already clearly defined in the transcript. So you look at the thing, then understand it, and just cultivate accordingly. Okay. 92 page.
Okay, page 92, 25th Heart Sutra class, part 1, 1.1. If you have delusion, you will grasp and cling. Nothing can free you except wisdom. When there is wisdom, the mind is always free and at ease, because it is no longer deluded by sense experiences. The mind is always peaceful and calm, and it will not stir anymore. Thought-based meditation cannot develop the penetrative insight or wisdom to liberate the mind, because the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless, beyond thought and time. And pachatang can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. The Mahayana analogy of finger pointing towards the moon is very important. The Dhamma is like the finger pointing towards the truth, which is the enlightenment. So to really see the moon, one must look or gaze beyond the finger. Similarly, to realize enlightenment, one must see beyond the Dhamma and not cling onto the Dhamma. If you attach or cling onto the Dhamma, then your mind cannot be free, because it is still holding on to something, hence not a free mind. A good example is Sun Siu, who always clings onto the wholesome Dhamma and tries to push away the unwholesome Dhamma via his constantly polishing of his mind until it shines so that no dust can alight. He has failed to realize the true mind because he mistakenly or deludedly clings onto the mundane mind, thinking it to be the true mind. This delusion has conditioned him to cling onto the wholesome and unwholesome Dhammas or duality, created by his own discriminating mind. But Hui Neng, the sixth patriarch, who has transcended the Dhamma and realized the true mind, is no longer deluded. Hence, he can understand that originally there is nothing. So where can dust alight? That is, if there is no discriminative mind, with delusion to divide the Dhamma into wholesome and unwholesome, for it to grasp and cling onto, then there will be no dust, which are the defilements or the unwholesome Dhamma. Hence, no more problem or doing is needed anymore because wisdom frees. Mind creates true consciousness following the 12 links. Consciousness is just mental images, hence not so real and empty. And because it is constantly arising and passing away, following nature's conditions, we will be able to awaken to its anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering state, and anatta, non-self, universal characteristics, if we can just be silent, aware within, via a choiceless awareness of what is.
What is the reality, the reality, what is, or suchness.
Okay. Point 1.2, forehead is where the brain is. So if we live from there, then it is mainly thought-based, giving rise to mainly knowledge only. Heart is where the nature of awareness is. So if we live from there, we will use it mainly to feel and be aware intuitively to arise the wisdom via the direct seeing. When the mind is chattering or thinking, then it is preoccupied with those activities. Hence, it is not silent and not aware anymore to see things as they are. Active thinking will make one heedless, that is lost in thought. Hence, no real wisdom can arise. To have wisdom, One must develop the ability to be aware and listen from the heart, without the interference from the brain's conditioned thinking, its views and opinions. Thought-based living leads to heedlessness and a lot of negativities, whereas awareness or sati-based living from the heart leads to wisdom. Therefore, stay in the heart. Have love and be loved always. Without the daily mindfulness, there is no real meditation, because wisdom can only come from the direct seeing via the silent mind in pure awareness. Heedless thinking throughout the day develops strong negative habitual tendencies. To overcome this heedlessness, one must develop the 5 spiritual faculties to counter the 5 mental hindrances of mind. The mind-sweeping method to only feel, no thinking, and relax is also a very useful technique to decondition the mind from its daily heedless thinking. Via allowing the mind to settle back to its natural state of silence and stillness, every moment of feel and relax will...
We should correct it to every moment of feeling and relaxation.
Feel and relax. Oh, okay, thank you.
Every moment of feeling and relaxation will allow us to relax any tension, tightness, or stress within our body more and more.
Okay. With a relaxed physical body, it will condition the mind to be at ease and relaxed also. The meditative mind is just aware, silent, and without thought. So the pure awareness or essence of mind before the knowing is the meditative mind. Dhammapada verses 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast ones realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana. 1.3. Question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain more about the heart? Is it the same as citta? Brother Teo replied, do not cling to the words. When you have developed the cultivation correctly, then you will come to understand those related Pali words very clearly. Sometimes they use the words citta, vijnanang, and mano, all 3 terms as synonymous with mind.
Synonymous.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
all 3 terms as synonymous with mind. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 as the mind that arises to create the citta and the vijnanang. The reason why the Buddha said mind is the forerunner of all things, whereas vijnanang is usually taken to mean the pure consciousness or receptacle, which is the last aggregate of mind. Then when one adds in the content of consciousness, which is sankhara, it becomes citta or thought. Thought or citta equals content of consciousness plus vijnanang. Heart is sing in Mandarin or Mahayana term. The heart is the seat of consciousness.
Spelling should be S-E-A-T. Where the heartbeat is.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
The heart is the seat of consciousness, and it is also the gateway to our nature. So if we live from the heart, it means live with pure awareness before the thought. But the moment we introduce the sankhara, or content of consciousness, everything that the mind can do via the brain, then thought or citta will arise. So the user of thought is very important. If the user is deluded, then the thoughts that arise become wrong thoughts. If the user is wise, then thoughts become right thoughts. For more details, please refer to the recorded talk. Part 2, Heart Sutra, no notes. Part 3, Meditation, no notes.
Okay, next chapter.
Okay. Page 94, 26 Heart Sutra class, part 1, 1.1. Clinging to all teachings or Dharma via knowledge or memories is of not much use, and one must instead awaken to the truth or Dharma, especially the 3 universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering states, and non-self or empty nature of all phenomena to arise the wisdom born of direct seeing, because only wisdom or understanding can free the mind. The mind once awakened is no longer deluded, And the understanding is always there because understanding or yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is not knowledge. The Dhamma is like the raft acting as a means to take one across the ocean of suffering. And once awakened, one must not carry the raft around. Also, one must not mistake the figure pointing... Finger, is it?
Yeah, finger.
Must
change.
Not mistake the finger
change.
Pointing at the moon,
finger.
Which is analogous with the Dhamma pointing towards the truth as the moon. The emphasis of our present civilization is mainly on IT, science and technological advancement. Hence, the overuse of the human thought processes via this type of very competitive knowledge-based education system. The spiritual cultivation via sati, or awareness, and the creative mind has been neglected for too long. You cannot use thought and knowledge to liberate the mind from delusion and ignorance, because thought is limited and egoic. Only through the cultivation of wisdom, via mindfulness or awareness, to understand who you are and what you are, can we understand what anatta is. You cannot rely on thought anymore. You should inquire via your heedfulness, is the human being or the five aggregates of form and mind really what you are? In the olden days, when we did not use the thought process so rampantly, we tend to be more intuitive and creative because we use more of our senses and inner nature to feel and be aware instead of constantly preoccupied with our thought processes and its related reactions to what we see, hear and think, etc., via our heedless living. But then civilization has evolved over the last few centuries and the emphasis nowadays is more on science and technology and IT type of education, which is mainly knowledge and thought-based. So we tend to use the thought process more and more to acquire scientific, technological and IT knowledge, and in the process, we overlook our natural or true mind of stillness and peace, which is without thought, more creative, that has a lot of clarity within. The moment those who are not yet enlightened use thought from their forehead where their brain is situated, it will cause their mind to stir, hence disrupting its natural state of pure, calm inner awareness and stillness. We therefore need to develop the wisdom to balance our life so that we are not deluded and drawn by the overemphasizing on the heedless thinking process to disrupt our spiritual life of awareness, heedfulness, living. Instead of being 90%+ of the time using the thinking process from our forehead, we should reverse it to only use it where necessary to live life with a silent and clear mind with inner awareness from the heart most of the time. Only then do we know how to live life via our essence of mind or the true mind after realizing the anatta nature of these five aggregates of form and mind of ours. To develop this understanding or wisdom, we need to develop sati or mindfulness or awareness to reconnect back to our essence of mind. So stay at the heart and be aware from there to live life, have love and be loved. Understand that thoughts are responses to memories. So if we maintain our attention at our forehead, then thought will constantly arise. And because of our delusion, thought will create a center, which is the I and the me, or self-delusion, sakaya ditti, thereby conditioning us to act and react heedlessly. As wrong thought is always limited and egoic, it will condition our fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, and emotional negativity. Knowledge binds. Hence the reason why all knowing, which is thought-based knowledge, is not wisdom, and it will become an obstruction to spiritual cultivation. The reason why the Pure Land teaching of the Infinite Life Sutra of Wu Liang Shou Jing, most profound quotes are Suo Zi Zhang and Fan Nao Zhang. All knowing via memories or knowledge are obstructions, and all fear, worries and anxieties are obstructions too. We are so used to thought-based living, Thought-based living is very egoic, hence a lot of selfishness and possessiveness. It is motivated by what your thought tells you. Our thoughts are conditioned thinking, conditioned by our wrong views and opinions caused by our sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. This conditioned thinking are mainly our habitual tendencies that will cause us to deludedly react, hold, cling, and grasp onto a lot of things which we think we can own and possess or desire and reject. Before thought, it is just spacious awareness or the entire oneness. Then the moment we focus or concentrate, thought is being created via the input of the content of consciousness, which is our perception, feeling, emotions, thinking, and other activities of the mind within that space. Hence, thought becomes limited because it shrinks the whole of the spacious awareness into the narrow field of focusing. No focusing implies no thought, and without thought, there is no center of the I and the me. Hence, no one to fear, worry, become anxious, selfish, and emotional, etc., which implies peace, pure awareness, tranquility, and stillness. The awareness nature without delusion is the essence of mind. To prepare for this coming 2012 expected transformation of consciousness and great shift, we only need to be aware and stay at the heart, have love and be loved, then everything will be alright. That is heart-based awareness, and no more thought-based living from the forehead. Then naturally, overnight, you may transform if you do not arise any fear. The pure awareness state before the arising of thought has no center, which implies no being, hence anatta. Thought has the power to divide via words, concepts and ideas, etc., and creates the center, the I and the me, resulting in selfishness, anger, possessiveness, delusion, fear, worry and anxiety, etc. This sakkaya ditti or self-delusion will condition us to believe that there is a thinker behind the thought and that there is an observer and the observed. The moment we awaken to the fact that it is only consciousness and every sense door consciousness is naturally conditioned arising, then this delusion of self will automatically cease to be. Remember the analogy of the lighting up of the light bulb when the switch is switched on? The moment there is delusion, the egoic mind or mundane mind or thought will grasp and cling due to the 12 links. That is true ignorance. Contact triggers off mental activities, which include perception, memory, sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, etc. Then contact, feeling, craving, grasping, becoming, and birth, leading to the whole mass of suffering. Just maintain awareness without thought, then everything will cease to be. Silence your mind and you will awaken to this truth. No thought means no center, no ego, no becoming, no fear, no selfishness, etc. Understand how you get yourself entangled with life via not understanding the Four Noble Truths. First Noble Truth of Dukkha explains clearly the realities of life and existence and the final summary of what dukkha is. What is dukkha. Second Noble Truth explains the cause of suffering, which is craving, conditioned by one's delusion and ignorance. Third Noble Truth, suffering need not be, and enlightenment in the here and now, and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. Fourth Noble Truth, the Noble Eightfold Path leading to enlightenment and the cessation of all suffering. 1.2. Question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain again what you meant by the Buddha was able to summarize all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, into just four simple but very beautiful noble truths, which is the essence of his teaching? And can you also explain which part is mundane and which part is the supramundane? Brother Teo replied, as stated above, the first noble truth of suffering or dukkha clearly explains all of the eight realities of life and existence that cover all aspects of our mundane living and life experiences ranging from birth, old age, sickness and death, to separation from our loved ones and prized possessions, and to be with people whom we don't like, not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go our way or follow our expectation. And the final summary of attachment to the five aggregates of our form and mind, Upadana Khanda, as the cause of all suffering. The Buddha also cautioned living beings that if they do not develop the wisdom needed to free their mind from confronting this first noble truth of dukkha's life realities, then they will definitely be afflicted by it, and suffering will be the result. Then the Buddha proclaimed the second noble truth that explained clearly the cause behind all suffering, so that living beings can develop the understanding not to be gullible anymore. After understanding what suffering is and their cause behind, they will know how to manage their life better, so that they need not have to suffer unnecessarily anymore. Then the Buddha proceeded to explain under the third noble truth that suffering need not be. If one has the Dharma and there is such a noble truth that talks about the possibility of realizing Nibbana or the enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering. This enlightenment or Nibbana is the supra-mundane realization. Then the Buddha explained how this enlightenment can be realized via proclaiming the fourth noble truth that states, there is a path leading to the cessation of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path of right view, right thought, right communication or speech, right action, right livelihood or right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. Once this Noble Eightfold Path has been cultivated, it can lead to the supra-mundane way of living the noble life of the noble or enlightened ones following the Noble Eightfold Path. The entire eight path factors within the Noble Eightfold Path, they are also noble and relevant to life, and they cover all of life, both the mundane and the supra-mundane aspects. In order to live life, we must have the understanding of what is life. And to understand life, we must have the first path factor of right understanding or right view with regards to nature's laws that govern all of life and existence, especially the three great spiritual laws of karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then to live life, we have to use thoughts, we have to communicate via speech, email, etc., and we also need to act and work to live life. Hence, the importance of having the second to fifth path factors to right thoughts, right speech or communication, right actions, and right living cultivated. Then we will need the four right efforts path factor to purify our actions, speeches, and thoughts, followed by right mindfulness to be heedful, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And finally, the last path factor of right samadhi, to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom to become enlightened. This is also the reason why the Buddha gave the analogy of the handful of leaves at Kosambi to the monks to impress upon them the importance of understanding the Four Noble Truths, which is so essential to live the holy life. These Four Noble Truths and its three turnings are also the Buddha's first teaching, or his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which he expounded immediately after his enlightenment. This Dhamma cultivation is more or less a full-time job that is throughout your waking hours, cumulating into for 24 hours heedfulness cultivation. That is, we need to confine our cultivation fully on the Dhamma when undergoing the training, which consists of hearing, reflection, contemplation, and inquiring into the Four Noble Truths and heedful direct seeing into phenomenon via our daily mindfulness in life itself. But full-time job here doesn't mean one must retire or give up one's job or career. One can cultivate even in the midst of working and living life via the daily mindfulness and this type of heedfulness training. I always advise devotees or Kalyanamitas as follows. If you have to work for survival, then work. If you need to work because too much free time and don't know how to retire, then work. If you already have the wisdom and you don't have to or need to work, then retire or semi-retire to do the things that you love or like to do. Learn to live life and not to worry about life. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative to realize the Dharma as taught by the Buddha. The most important meditation training is the cultivation of daily mindfulness via following this instruction. We choose aware of our every bodily and mental action and movement within the present moment.
Okay, I will explain a bit. So regarding life, I think you need to ask yourself these three questions. Do you have to work? You have to work because you need money or you need for survival. Then you got no choice. Work, understand? Then some people, they need to work. You know. They don't know what to do when they retire. Maybe we laugh, there are so much things for us to do. We do the thing we like to do and we focus on spiritual, understand? Not enough working for so long. Since graduate until almost lak chau hui, you know, someone want to work. And as a human being, our average lifespan is how much? Ah, very good. So we divide into three phases. This one I can rub, you all have. Oh, that one, okay. So down here first. You help me to rub. So I explain. Add. Oh, takes care. Care God.
First care,
oh, when you take care of my. Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, right too fast. When you take care of mine, mine takes care of you. Okay, good. 75, Kevin. Where is she? Oh, okay. Wow, she also take toilet break, So we break into three phases, there's three phases of 25 years. Okay? So, phase 1, age 1 to 25, what do you do? What do you do? You, as a child, you go, you go to kindergarten, then you go to school, primary school, secondary school, then if you're lucky, university or college. So, mainly, play and study. Correct? In fact, that is the best phase of most people's life. No need to worry about money. Money, leave it to your parents. So, average lifespan. Okay, so divide into three phases. Oh, 25 years each. So like we already know, phase 1. Phase 1. 1 to 25. So this one, you are a kid. Play and study. Then after that, you graduate. But nowadays, I was told the younger generation, they graduate at 20, you know, like my daughter. 20 years old graduate. So phase 2, phase 2, 26 to 50. Correct? Oh, okay. So normally this is your career. You come out to work. You try to make money. You try to get financial freedom and all those things. Then after that, your last phase. Phase 3. Oh, family, so fast get married. Oh, you luckily Tammy went back already. Tammy not get married. Polian also not get married. PG also not get married. Joseph also not get married. Never mind. Huh? So third phase is 51 to 75, okay? So effectively, you look at all these three phases. Human being don't know how to plan. If you know how to plan your life, you will become beautiful. So first phase, they always say, you got a lot of energy. You got no money. Understand? So this one, very active. Very active. But no money. Then here you come out and work. Oh, you got money. Have money. Work very hard. Work very hard. Then no time. No time. The third phase? Got time, too much time. Got time, got money, no energy. So this one, got time, actually too much time. If we strive on with diligence, no time. Got time, got money. But no energy. Want to travel also no strength. A lot of things you want to do you cannot do. So how do you plan your life? Oh, still have energy, okay. But most of them, no more youth, understand? You cannot, like, when you are 20, 30, that time you're very strong. You are very energetic, and you are at your prime. But that one going downhill already, especially after 70. So now we ask ourselves, okay, first, as a kid, you got no choice. You play, you study. Because you don't have money. You cannot decide your life. But second phase, career phase, most people find it very difficult to retire. You know? Every time not enough money. You know? Work until like about the retirement age. Last time was 55 retire, then 50 optional. Now can go to 60. Inflation. Why go to 60? Inflation. Oh, inflation. They say your EPF not enough money, that's why must work some more. Then they say children's education. Then after children, grandchildren's education. Then cannot survive, cannot afford, cannot retire, so have to work. So voila. Then some are successful, make money, enough money, financial freedom already. Ask them to retire. My classmate, no. MD of listed company, you know. Come and ask me, you know. Why I retire so early? At the age of 40-something, I officially retired from my engineering career and I didn't work as an engineer anymore. completely retired to do the thing I like to do. He called me out. No? He that time almost coming to 60 years old. Hey, you retire, what you do? He said, very boring. No, no office, no secretary to take instruction. No. And do you know what he told me? He got driver, everything. No. After he retired, he don't even know how to put petrol. No. Well, all driver do for him. No. He go to the petrol station. Don't know where the thing to open the petrol, to put petrol. No. Huh. I tell you, that is crazy. Eh? Then he say, last time, people respect us. No. Wow, dinner here, dinner there, lunch, appointment, sometimes too much entertainment. No. Now, nobody call. Hardly anybody call. No. Oh. Then luckily I tell him, you do the thing you like to do. La. I like to work. La. So I told him, you have to work, you work. La. He said, I don't want to be subject to those stress. Anymore. As an MD, every year got target one. Oh. Then I say, like that. Like that, become director. La. No target one. Director there, the board, Taro, the management. Then he said, good idea. Oh, now he's on the board of 5 or 6 of this type of listed company plus some organization. And he said, not bad. Director fee, 20,000-30,000. Wow, I say, no wonder now you know how to retire. Yeah, he said, didn't work better. But I met the wife. No? The wife told me, well, he is now more busy than he worked. Because he got director meeting everywhere. No? Last time one company, now got six board of director company. So, but he enjoyed his life. Huh? He finally traveled, he liked to travel. So I said, you like to travel, you travel. Huh? So that was how it happened. But if you have the means, if you know what you will want in life, then you retire, you don't worry. You don't worry that you have problem. Well, there was one engineer, much senior than me, after he retired, he still don't have enough money, you know, financial freedom. He's from JKR. Then his son, second year in Australia, you know, he pending. You know, and he went everywhere to ask people to employ him. No? You retired already as a more government servant. No? Who dare to employ you? Then luckily my project, I got, we are consultant, we got one project under JKR also. So we all, as consultant, the skill of fee is separate, but when it comes to project, if I can hire a very senior engineer, we got multiple over his pay. One, no? You understand? Huh? So when they told me, oh, I say I need him. He is the best. We can get the best multiple. Yeah, he's also from JKR. Then he came and see me. Then he told me all this. Oh. And do you know why he want to work again? Actually, he secretly tell me, not so much of the son. No. He said the son one, he take EPF money out enough. Then the golden handshake, actually got some money together with the wife, can survive. Say. But my problem is, after I retire, first 2 months I was miserable. He don't know what to do with the time, no. Every day in the office, like government servant, I think 9 to 5 or 8 something to 4 something. He can tea time, breakfast, read newspaper, call here, call there. Then everybody colleague entertain him, no. Now I retire at home, he got nothing to do. He called the colleague, you know. Well, he got nobody. The colleague scared of him, you know. Please don't call me, I'm working. Wow, he said he was so boring for 2 months. You know. Then he thanked me. He said, thank you so much for the job. So put him on the side. He very happy. Nobody control him. Got problem on his CV. But he's so senior, he don't have to see me. And our design drawing, the specification, all very clear. That's why he enjoyed 3 years in that place. So what is more important is you can afford to retire. You retire because we are spiritual practitioner. You ask Engby, a lot of things to do. also all cultivation also you still got your family duty, understand? But you have financial freedom, it will help you a lot. Then you don't have to worry about money. Simple life, just like my case. My children didn't go overseas. Simple life, then I know how to invest to grow my money. Then everything already paid off. That's why I straight away, without any thought, I just retire and do the thing I want to do. That's why after I retired, I came out to share. Because I retired in the year 2001, Labor Day. Then that time I do the thing that I like to do. Well, I like investment, so I do investment. Then 2004 Yun Chang came. I start to be active in the Dhamma. So this phase, you have to tell yourself, don't spend too much time on career. Understand? Otherwise, you got no time to live life. You understand? First phase, no time to live life. Second phase also, here, no time. See the word, no time. Family unit also not much time. Understand? So, third phase, not guarantee you are no. You think you live so long. Understand? So, how much time do you have to spend time with your family to do the thing that you want to do in life? Understand? That's why you can have this third phase to retire and do the thing you want to do and spend more time with your family and live the good life. What are you waiting for? Oh, Kehun look at me. He said the husband is stupid. Don't know how to make use of this one. Children also no time. Oh, yeah. Because they are under phase two. But they got leave, what? Yeah, lah. They have their leave, what? It'd be very good. Girlfriend, boyfriend, they give priority. Old man, not priority. But my family different. We still very close. Then we try to travel together. So what I did, but I think Eng B also did that, is like your son graduation, isn't it? You went to Europe. That one? Your daughter. So, I make use of those occasions together with my daughter, my son. Well, my son did the INSEAD MBA, he graduated. A whole family go. My wife also went, and another family friend, Sam, joined me. We all fly business class. Not only France. France, UK. Then we had very beautiful holiday. Then my daughter very lucky. On the way back from London, where she flew back first, she checked into the business class. They upgrade her to first class. Mautinti Fata. First time. Then he showed me the photo of the first class. Oh, wow, can sleep one. No? Then all the food, all different one. No? First class. If you can afford, pamper yourself. That is not craving, no, please. Don't think that there is craving. If you've got condition, why not? Then I say, wow, good parami. So everything is there. Then when we travel together, because they are so young, they know how to check internet, everything. They book all the good tour. Because we say, at our age, I don't want to walk a lot. Understand? So he booked a private tour. Very nice lady who organized for us. All the things were very well done. And we really like it. Money well spent. Not expensive also. It's like slightly more expensive than the normal tour. I can steal half an hour from the meditation. Don't worry. So what happened is, you can still find time. Just like now, my daughter told me, she worked in Singapore. Maybe she planned to retire. Because August. At first it was supposed to be beginning of this year, now August. But I let her decide. No urgency. She will decide. Then if we really want to travel together, like my wife say, we have traveled many places. Then what she wants is family together travel. So we will plan all those things. And because I retired early, I had my good years. Which total, in total, 2001 until now, I retired 18 years already, So I jewelry a lot from phase two. Then I tell myself, if I need to travel and really live life, until the age of 65, which is I am now, I will still be very healthy. Good enough. I can still go with them and do all those things. That's why the last 18 years was beautiful. Beautiful. Actually, after 89, already beautiful. Then, from there onward, if I hit 75, 65 to 75 is 10 years, I believe I am still healthy. Touch wood. Until now, no real sickness. Everything still normal. So, what is happening is, this 10 years, we can still plan our life and so on, still have good life. And I believe I can still go and move. That's why our China trip, Guiyang, we got to spend also quite a lot of time on spiritual trip, taking Kayanimitta around and all those things. Then after 75 is bonus year. It can be like Mahathir 94, okay lah. Then real good life. So if you know how to plan, it will make a difference. So what I did was I told my children, you don't have to be like that, like normal people. So phase one, whatever I can afford, I can help them. They need money or what, I can help them. But I prefer them to earn their own. Understand? So the Chinese New Year got ang pao and all those things. So sometimes, you know, peer pressure, they want to buy handphone, they want to buy all those what cut and all those. I say, first time, I buy for you. But cheap one. You want branded one, use your own saving. Understand? So with that understanding, they're very happy. School holiday, Form 5, after Form 5, they went and actually work, get their own money. In 1 month, they can make 1,000 plus. And not bad. Then after that, my son, he one day come and talk to me. He said, Daddy, I want to do one thing. I said, what is it? He said, I want to buy a bouquet of rose, Valentine's Day, to offer it to one of the girl he liked. I said, up to you lah. Then I asked him, why you want to do that? Because you are going to regret. Yeah, the rose never lasts is one thing, but the girl will not be the ultimate girl that you have. You are still a student. You have a lot of opportunity and choice and a little. He said, never mind, Daddy. If I don't do, after that I got a lot of money, also no use. I cannot go back to my university year age to experience this. Wow, like that, I buy for you. I said, 300 ringgit for the rose. I don't know how many rows. I don't know. She also didn't receive. I never believe in selling roses. You know why or not? I Dharma practitioner. No. I told her, you want that type of love? Rose? Does it last? That type of love. Can decay one, no. Then after that, that's why I don't ask for that, ask for the pure one. But they told me, you all can cover, all girls like rose one. Oh, status, kiasu. People ask, your boyfriend, your husband got off, give you rose, Valentine's Day and all those things. Yes. Use the mic. Okay.
I'm married to you for over 30 years. You never once even give me a rose.
Oh.
Then he never say anything. So the next few months, he will buy a lot of rose plants.
Oh.
plant
in the garden.
Actually, you can come to see my house.
Yeah, I know.
Full of roses.
No different.
This Valentine's.
Wow, the whole garden.
Yes. And then
the whole garden of rose.
Come, quick, come. I said, why are you so... He said, look at all the roses.
Wow.
Sadio, a garden of roses instead of a bouquet.
See? You must learn like Li Hun. Complain first. Then after that, the husband will do something. Complain also never. What is more important is Lee Hoon didn't tell you the secret. Actually, that one he don't want to tell. Because in the early day when he come to my class, he always tell me one. Brother, my husband this year, anniversary, I don't know birthday or anniversary, buy me a new car. Oh, hybrid and all that. You ask her? She confirmed. Three car. You think Rose better or the three car hybrid better? Ask you to choose. Ask Padmasuri to choose. So now Padmasuri got the BM, no? The roses only cost how much? No. The one BM can buy you lorry loads of roses. And that one doesn't last. The BM can drive. You say one star, BM better, isn't it? So tell your husband, I learned something. Don't send me rose anymore. I think this hybrid car very nice. Wow, that is the best, Kevin. Can afford your own, don't depend on him. Wow, no need to depend on him. Oh, you say, yeah. Wow, now we know. If you need a nice car, go and borrow from Kiat Hun. Pesa. Oh, Pesa. Yeah, but you don't want, You don't want to show. At this age, nothing to show on. Oh, very good. Now you are cross already. You cross already. No, you cross already. Cross by how many years? Cross by how many years? Okay. But now you still got opportunity for the balance of phase 3, isn't it? Then Mahathir will live 94. You choose to work. Wow. Okay, everyone different, except. So these three phases is very important because this is what life is all about. It's not to say that we are selfish or we try to enjoy life. No. Because this form and mind is just our vehicle and tool for us to come. Then if we can have the Dhamma somewhere here, it's the best. Then you retire early. Because once you have the Dhamma, you know how to take care of your career. You know how to develop your good life. Well, your parami will take care of it. Then after that, you will have your good life. I used to call this the most beautiful part of your life. Yeah, this is the phase. In Dhamma, it's called phase 3 of Dhamma, Pativeda. You get the fruition and you get to leave the phase of the fruition of your hard work. Means the life of an enlightened being. So this is what you should have. Then after that, everything is very beautiful. Life is so beautiful. Every moment, every instant is so beautiful. Then you get to meet people whom you really can help and be a blessing to. So life really can be very beautiful, very meaningful, and very wonderful if you know how to live that. So this is what I want you to understand. Otherwise, too much Dhamma, no fun. Okay, we read on.
Okay, so now page 97, part 2, 2.1. Definitions. Mental formation. Sankhara or activities of mind. Everything that the mind can do. Impermanence. A universal characteristic prevalence in all phenomena. See clearly how phenomenon comes and how it goes. How they arises and passes away. Their birth and death. Their rise and fall, etc. All condition arising phenomena are impermanent, and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned or held onto as the I and the me. Our fundamental nature is the oneness of Buddha nature. 2.2 Saying by Most Venerable Master Kuan Qing Lao Hersang, 过去心不可得, The mind of the past cannot be grasped onto because it is already gone, not a reality. 未来性不可得. The mind of the future also cannot be grasped onto because it has yet to come, also not a reality. 现在性不可得. The mind of the moment is the only reality and highest in life, but to transcend life, we have to transcend even the moment, which is still within the field of thought, hence impermanent.
Yeah, that's why the present moment also not real. That's why the Maya know the present moment also is not a reality. 不可得. Because split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. And that is the highest in life, no? So how can you take life so seriously? The highest in life is the present moment, the only reality we already confirmed. Then, what are you doing moment to moment? Moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? And split second is day and gone. How real is life? It's never real. After that, dead and gone. Can only recall through memory. But you never leave. So most of the time you are heedless. You existed through life. You are conscious of life. But you never leave life. That is what is happening to the human rhyme. Most human beings who are deluded do not have the Dhamma. They really don't know life and don't understand life. And they fail to really live life in the actual sense that they are aware and they have this inner awareness to understand and to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life from moment to moment. Most of the time they carry the thought, the worry, the problem, the fear, the anxiety, and they got a lot of problems stored in their brain, in their consciousness. That's why today Sui An sent me that one, huh? Obama's, I think, special, is it an advisor or what? Yeah. Chairman of the Economic Board. He is a very well-respected professor. He just committed suicide. You know? Age 58 only. And he's a very famous professor. So life, you never understand. Outwardly, they can be Nobel Prize winner and all those things. But inwardly, they have a lot of problems. So you should count your good blessing. Because you had the Dhamma, that's why you got so much less problem. Otherwise, you also end up like all these things. So your younger kid, your client, you know why they are like that now. You tell them, professor also like that. I'm not asking you to tell them all the time when he got so miserable and all those things. He said, I'm so young, I don't deserve this, all those things. I'm still not successful, I'm still not married. Then you say the professor, when young, very successful like you, all those things, then he also married, he had everything, and yet he do it. Why? Not only he, because he and you same. When you have problem, you will have that suicidal thought. Understand? So cherish your life, love yourself, don't be foolish. You got so much potential. Understand? You can become very famous and give them some example. Not successful like Lim Kau Tong, come over with short pen or a Chinaman pen, no belt also. And he become the richest guy, one of the richest guy. He owned Genting, Berhad, and a few of the subsidiaries. So people who make it, they are not really very bright or very promising when they are young. A lot of them actually make it from scratch. In fact, there's a lot of example, I think. Even like Bill Gates and a few of these, they are dropped out. Then somehow their karma very good. Then they have the condition, then they came up.
Just want to share what I experienced about, instead of existing through life, but being more aware about life. One of the things is like, everything I use and I take now, like my jacket, this jacket, although you can see a lot when you go to the shopping mall, one whole stretch, everyone is sewn from the same type of cloth, but it's a different part of cloth, different fabric, each one of them sewn by different people, maybe different part of the machine line, come from different cotton field, come from different plant. And I am wearing this now. It has its lifespan. It will pass away after a few years, torn or whatever. But while it is here with me now, I'm using it.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it. The book I have is different. It's the same book you all have, but it's printed from different kind of pulp.
Yeah.
It has the words. I did my own. I have my own relationship with my this Sutra book. My bottle, my phone, all have this lifespan. It will go the way of nature after a while. But then it makes this moment all the more precious.
Yeah, meaningful.
While it is with me.
Yes.
Then I really am aware of my life.
Yeah.
Like my this yoga mat, my everything. Be able to meet all of you. You all grown different parts of the world.
Yeah.
Grow up, so your own education come here. We can actually have a conversation. So I become very aware of this moment, what this really is. I just came to class. What is class?
Very good.
The moment itself.
Very
every
good.
Day is different. Every class is different. Every year is different.
This
that was suddenly I aware, not exist through life.
Correct.
Aware of the moment to moment of life.
This is what Dhamma will give you. I used to tell my wife and some Kayamita friend, I said, you all travel. After you travel, come back. Do you think you are really there? When you are there, busy, take photo, chattering here and there, ego first, you hardly aware. When I landed in Paris, when I was moving around, I was fully aware. Then I look, everything, like my daughter, went, so pristine. No? Although I have seen on the TV all those things, the brochure, right? Not important. When I was there, I really aware. And I was with the moment, the pristine beauty. And everything is so wonderful. Even my own house, after I did the renovation for my family, I look at it. I've been staying there for how many years? And yet every day is so beautiful. And there is so much joy in me, knowing that this is what I can do for my family. You know, we spend most of our time here. I agree with my wife. I say, if I can afford, then I told my children, you do whatever you want with your room. I will pay for it where I can afford. That's how you should have that understanding and really feel that you are there. Otherwise, you leave that house, you never experience that your house was really your house. After you die already, you also, like Eckhart told you, that room he has been staying for so long, he never looked at it. In the true sense that he was never with the awareness. Then after he awakened from that state, like everything is so pristine, no? Even the morning, the sun ray coming in, he never have time to even perceive it and feel the beauty and wonders of it. No, you take for granted a lot of things in life, true or not? Your husband, your spouse, you, how you raise your children. My wife also said, cannot remember already. Because that time you just know how to do your duty. Because that time, the Dhamma hasn't sink in yet. But now different. Now everything you do after you have the Dhamma is so different. Understand? You appreciate life. Every moment is so beautiful, so pristine. Then there is no such thing as that negative memory, wrong thought, worry, problem. That is not living life. That is worrying about life. Understand? Every day also kanchong. You know what is kanchong? Very kanchong. Ayo, die lah. This one not done, that one not done. How my children, this problem, that problem. Then, health problem. Routine, check up everything. Then, house, nobody clean. Then, no maid also complain. God maid also complain. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. What type of life is here? Understand? So, you have to develop the understanding of life, then be able to be with the moment to really experience life. The pristine beauty and wonders of life. Every moment they are there. Like my daughter now knows, everything she appreciates, she treasures. Although it goes the way of nature, it will not be he or her. But at least this moment she treasures it, understand? The condition that arises. that they can have.
When you touch on condition, everything I come into contact to, person or thing, there's condition and there's karma behind it, how you wound up with it. So have to really appreciate the moment, even one moment only, that person passes by on the street. That one moment passed by, out of so many people, that is the person I passed by. Even the cushion you're sitting on, out of so many cushions, you just sit on that brown cushion. That moment is there, next moment someone else could have taken it already. Your relationship with that cushion is only this moment. So it's person, thing. We come into contact with so many things every day, 24 hours, different thing, every day different.
Because
but
when
people
you
still say every day the same. Every day so different.
Very good. When you have the Dhamma, your mind becomes like that. You appreciate everything is so beautiful, so pristine. Then you will not be like normal people, Hitler, don't know what is going on. Like Reverend Suan was there, gong gong chia, gong gong toa, gong gong si, oh gong. You don't know what is going on. But when you are mindful, aware, when you have the Dhamma, everything is so beautiful, so pristine. And your mind state are so beautiful. So I hope this one will give you all confidence, understand? Then allow you to motivate yourself and strive on. Then you can actually develop the understanding and experience. So learn to slow things down to understand and appreciate through your awareness. You don't have to rush around, worry here, worry there, then the sankhara sanya keep on concording. Boiling, proliferating, means you're hardly aware. Then you cannot understand life. Your life is within the moment. Every moment, if you are lost in thought, too busy thinking and planning about life, you never leave. You are just heedless. Okay, read on that note. Then you will understand.
Note. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you truly living? Or are you too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life? So much so you totally miss out on life. That is, you never get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness within, to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all of its wonders and beauty of life, is to live.
Now you understand. I have been sharing this for how many years? But how many of you really pick it up to understand what life is? You may think you know the words, but you cannot live it yet, understand? It has not stabilized. But when it stabilized, when you really have the continuous mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, then when you awaken, you will understand what I write, and you will have the joy, and you will know what all this is. And these are possible. This is what life is all about. Even though moment to moment, not so real, but there is such thing as life. You understand? We are the form and mind that count, which is your vehicle and your tool, can live life. That's why life is wonderful under Heart Sutta. Although not real, moment to moment. But the form and mind can have this karmic nature, parami, and all the blessing to live the beautiful life. If you have this type of nature and parami, you don't mind coming, isn't it? The longer, the better, isn't it? Understand? No? Every life come not to suffer and have this understanding and really live life. No? I will come, no problem. Understand? No? Why you, a lot of you all, I have the feeling, arahan enough already. After that finish, no more suffering. But you miss out what life is. The wonderful part of life, you never leave. You suffer, then suddenly become arahan. Finish. you understand? I show you the three phases. One, two, three. So you say, very mafan, phase one. Phase two, lagi mafan with all the things. Then myself die lah, pop, finish. That is what you all are doing. Because you go and think through the thought, suffering enough already. I don't want to come another time. I don't want to end up the way everybody end up. But they saw so much suffering. So it's not about so much suffering. There is a noble truth that proclaimed by the Buddha to explain to you the reality of life and existence. That these eight conditions, they are the reality of life. Everybody is subject to it if you live long enough. Then when you confront it without wisdom, you will suffer. That is the noble truth. It doesn't say life is suffering. When you have the understanding of life, when you have realized the enlightenment, you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you become beautiful, you become a blessing to all, and life becomes wonderful. That is what the Dhamma is all about. But very few people explain to you. Every people say, you aim for Arahant, finish, no more suffering. But they don't know what life is. After you strive so hard, enlightened area, don't know how to use it to live life. Is that what you want? It's like you work through career, make all the money already, thinking that with the money you will have good life. But after you earn all the money, you say enough already. Then you want to die. You have no need to work already. If you look at it in this manner, then you will realize it is, in a way, I say, not really somebody who understands life. Understand? No? Why do you do that? Strive, then after that, have all the understanding, have all the wealth, everything, then die. Or no more. It's a beautiful enlightenment state, the Arahant, no doubt about it. But do you really understand life? Do you really have the, what they call, condition to really live life? Well, by the time you hit that thing, Arahant or what, you got not much time left. You understand? Most of the people hit is above phase 2 one. Even the fortunate one is all above phase 2. But most of that hit before the age of 50, they are all not normal sainthood way. Most of them are bodhisattva way. Like my teacher Achayendra. He believes in Kuan Yin. He has very strong faith in Kuan Yin. And he knows about the vow and all those things. Although he was born a Theravada monk. But his practice, his cultivation, all is Mahayana in nature. Okay? So you finish that part.
Okay,
continue. Yeah.
Part 3, 3.1. Question 1. What is the difference between contemplation and thinking?
This is a very good question. Okay, answer.
Brother Teo replied, to contemplate on the Dhamma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of the truth that he has given under his first turning of the Four Noble Truths. This contemplative wisdom called Chintamaya Panya is part of the second turnings of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. To develop this contemplation, one must have a calm and composed mind with the spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati and Samadhi in its creative state to inquire and reflect deep into its second turning's hidden meaning. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry or investigation with the creative mind in Sati. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking. To bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first turning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician or a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm, and rather creative at that time. And that is the reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard, thought to you, or read about. Listen with attentiveness and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with that calm mind with very little or no thinking. Reflection is like inquiring and contemplation. Its purpose is to stabilize what one understands. Note. Assimilating the Dhamma is analogous to assimilating the food. that is like assimilating or absorbing the nutrients after eating the food.
Ah, no need. 3:30 you all can have your meditation. Eh? So this contemplation, you have to be silent, quiet, in a conducive setting. But you can do it at home too. Because normally when I reflect, I contemplate in the early day, yeah? At home, alone. Sometimes I will just walk up and down within the house. Or sometimes I go outside, I look at nature. Then I reflect, I contemplate. To contemplate and reflect, you need to inquire. Then you throw up the inquiry. Why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand? Yeah. Then from there, through your life experience, you will recollect through mindfulness all the phases that you have gone through in life, your experience. Then somewhere as you contemplate, it will strike you that, oh, no wonder the Buddha said, birth is suffering. Yeah. No wonder the Buddha said, getting old. Is suffering. Then sickness is suffering. That one is obvious. Then death is suffering. Of course, very obvious. So it's through reflection, contemplation, inquiry that you stabilize your understanding. Otherwise, it becomes knowledge. So when it's knowledge, you can repeat like a parrot, but it cannot help you to understand life and to live life. So that type of knowledge is no use. But when you put it into contemplation, reflect on it, then understand it, and then it becomes very useful understanding. That is the second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. Okay, now we're off the light and you can have your... I give you 15 minutes, 15 minutes of meditation, so at least I got 10 minutes to sum up. Yeah, 50 minutes. Yeah.